you have a sitter. One of the very fascinating issues that often comes up, I imagine you probably encountered it. If you take a look at the Yishtabach, so there's, came out in every sitter that I'm familiar with, Ashkenazic sitter, there is a Perek and Tehillah, Kuf Lamed, that appears there. Namely, Shir HaMalos V'Malachim Kasich HaShem. You see what I'm referring to? What is the practice in Aser Simei Tshuva of Ashkenazim? So many Ashkenazim say Shir HaMalos V'Malachim right over there. I think that's the practice of many synagogues, many shuls in America, even in Eretz Yisrael as well, if I'm not mistaken. However, the minhag of the yeshiva world is not the same. And that is my practice. And that's Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice, and also the practice of many others, that they don't say, Yishikah, thank you very much. They don't say Shir HaMalos, Mima'amakim, at this point in time. And the question is, why not? What's the marker? The marker for this is the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh, who was a great tzaddik and great Golub HaTorah, he argued that this is what one should say during Aser Simei Tshuva, between Yishtabach and the Baruch of Yotze Or, the Mizmor, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Nun Daled, he quotes actually from the Magen Avraham, who says, "Sarach Ian Al Minhag Hazeh." It's not so simple that one should introduce this particular minhag. And the Aruch HaShulchan actually explains what's the reason why it should not be introduced. So, what would you answer? If I were to ask you, without knowing the Aruch HaShulchan, without knowing anything, what would you say is the problem with Shir HaMalos V'Malachim Kasich Hashem? Just think for a moment. Excellent. Now the question is why. What you say is exactly on target, 1,000%. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes that it's a hefsek between Yishtabach and Yotze Or. On the contrary, he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that someone talks between Yishtabach and Yotze Or, Avera hi biyado v'chalzeh v'orkei amelchama. That's called an Avera, and if you were to go to war, we would not let you go to war, because only tzaddikim, soldiers of our tzaddikim, can go to war and fight battles, because then we'll be assured that Hashem will grant a victory. But if someone has an Avera, or someone has Mali Averos, then certainly there should not be a soldier. We have a concept of a soldier who is a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, who is completely committed to Hashem Yisbarach. And as a result, he'll have Siyata Nishmaya. So either Yishalmi said, if someone talks between Yishtabach and Yotze Or, that's an Avera. The Chosin of Yorach HaMelchama, that person will not be able to maintain his status as a soldier. So what you said is 1,000% correct. But now the question is, why? Why is this called the Hefsek? I want you to answer it. Since you started. Hamasra b'mitzvah, omer lo gemor. Someone who starts a mitzvah, we tell him to complete the mitzvah. You started. You're halfway there. Why should this be a Hefsek? So think for a moment. When we say Hefsek, so think in light of what we have been speaking about for the last while. We spoke about Psukim de Zimra. What exactly is Psukim de Zimra? What is the basic theme? Correct. Shevach v'odot Hashem Yisbarach. It's Zemer. Psukim of Zemer, correct? Yeah. We mentioned this at starting from the very beginning, namely, literally from the very beginning. Hokel ha'avah rachaman ha'mehula b'fi amo. B'shubah from before, b'shom chasinah v'avodah. U'b'shirei David adecha me'alach Hashem al-Kedah. We're going to use the shir of David to praise Hashem, correct? That starts.
So you're saying don't say shir malos till after
Shema. One moment, right? I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying it in the chalal. I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm just saying that next, Hodul Hashem Kiru B'Shmo. This is talking about again. Kiru B'Shevach, describing the flaws of Hashem Yisbarach. Ki Godol Hashem Rumuhulom Yod. And continuing, Mizmar L'Soda. Correct? Ariel Hashem Kalaratz Yivdos Hashem Yisimcha. Yehichlo. Ashrei. All the halalukas. We spoke about Oz Yashir. We spoke about when it ends. We spoke about a number of aspects of Oz Yashir. The Rambam Shid, I'll get to it again maybe in a second. But, and then Yishtabach. Yishtabach is what the finale, the close of Tzuvah Zimra. And again, what is Yishtabach focused on? Shir u'shvacha halil v'zimra. Oh, Zimam Shalom Netzah. No, in that light, now you can finish the answer that I want you to tell me. Why is Shir HaMalos a hefsek? What is Shir HaMalos? What's in here?
It's a bakasha.
Bakasha. What are we doing here in Shir HaMalos? Clearly, do not come to Kuf Lamed. To the Shir, I sent it to Hillam in Kuf Lamed. On Tuesday night. Not this past Tuesday night, but a while ago. We pointed out this is Bakosha, totally. What are we saying over here? Mima'amakim Kasich Hashem, we're calling Hashem from the depths. Correct?
Is it Rise Asap or
sorry?
Is it Rise Asap from the depths, or is it calling Hashem from the depths?
Is it what? What was the first statement you made?
Like rising us up from the depths. Like us as in like...
We are calling Hashem from the depths, because the Gemara says that tefillah mimamakim, the person obviously is stressed out, full of angst, full of anxiety. So that brings a person down. So that's what we call Hashem. Hashem listens to our tefillos mimamakim krasicho Hashem. It's a Magen Avraham, famous Magen Avraham. I don't know if you ever saw in many, many synagogues. I know in Toronto they have such synagogues. Maybe where you are, they don't.
Oh.
Namely, the Sheikh Sibur, when the entire shul is more or less level, till we get to the point where the Sheikh Sibur is supposed to be Yorid the Tnei HaTeva, the Lashon Gemara. Doesn't mean Yorid the Tnei HaTeva, he descends, goes down. So what do? They physically build the shul where the end of the shul, before the Sheikh Sibur is going to stand, so what does he have to do? He descends. That could be also a slippery slope. I'm happy you caught my drift. Many people actually have slipped on such, shall we say, what shall we call them? A downward trajectory. A sliding pond of sorts. Anyway, Toronto Lhasa Shul. What is it based on? Mimamakim Krasich Hashem. Supposed to be from a lower kind of position, but it's symbolic of the fact that we are, in effect, given what you just said yourself, that we are trying to call out to Hashem from the depths, from the doldrums. Okay, but back to the issue. The name of the issue is, this is Bakasha. Does Bakasha belong here? No, it does not. And that's why many do not say, consider this to be a hefsek. And that's what the Magen Avraham read, the Mishnah Berurah calls the Magen Avraham, said, so here on this minute, but you undoubtedly, with your background, undoubtedly, he has a very beautiful head covering today. I already pointed out the fact that his head covering is in tandem with his absolutely resplendent shirt. Mashu, mind-boggling. We did not say so. He is in sartorial style par excellence. According to my humble opinion. Not that I'm such a... One second, let me just finish my point. I just got a little bit sidetracked. Kedaki. So the Magen Avraham, therefore, Sarach Ian, and the reason is, because why is this a hetzek? Because of the issue of Akasha. The problem, the Akashon himself questions this, shall we say, statement of the Magen Avraham. Because the whole Isser of Hefseg is only if I don't, shall we say, if I say Dibrei Chol, if I do something that has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, you got that? It's an expression. But if I'm involved in Tfilah, for example, I mentioned once, according to the Rambam, Oz Yashir said when? I saw it once with Al Soloveitchik, after Yishtabach. So the question is, perhaps there's a Makom Lechalik, there's a very famous sefer called the Emet Bracha. Harav Pomeranchik, you probably know him, he's a Talmud of Rizkarov. He died, unfortunately, a very young man. He was a baby, 36 years old. But he wrote several classic, beautiful, Lomdish Shesvarim. Anyway, the Emet Bracha said, perhaps there's a distinction, he's Mechalik actually between Oz Yashir, Shir HaSayam, and the issue of what? Of Shir HaMalos HaMakim. What's the difference? He says, Poshet. That Shir HaSayam, the reason why you can't be Masik after Yishtabach is because of Gemara Brachas. The Gemara says that all the Misad Adam, Shivcho Shagadish Baruch Hu, Ve'achak Yisbalo. There's a Savior. I told you the other day. What's the Savior? First Shevach. And after Shevach, once you praise Hashem, acknowledge Hashem, then you can go and go in for the, quote unquote, for the kill. That's part of the expression. That is to say, do what? Ask for X and Y and Z. You know Z? My good friend? Canada? They don't know how to pronounce the Z. So they say Z. Anyway, so therefore, in Shir HaSayam already, as I explained to you, that's the reason why. So therefore, Shir HaSayam is also Sidur Shvachim. So therefore, it's not a Hefsek. Mashek and Jiram Alos, that's my Kosha. That's Mamish Hashem of Hefsek. However, this is no get to you, Pesky. Chassidim, what is their practice? They all say Shir HaMalos. All of them, 1,000% of them. Right after Yishtabach, and Aseret Metshuva, Shir HaMalos, Shir HaMalos, Shir HaMalos, Hashem. What about the Litvish Hevra? Most who are in part of the yeshiva world do not say it. Because they follow the Magen Avraham. The meaning of yeshivas is not to say it. I know that Rabbi Shafainsin, Zechatzal Debracham, his practice was not to say it because he followed Menachem Yagroa. However, if he was in the minyan that said it, he also would say it. He wasn't worried apparently by the issue of that saying. Okay, you wanted to comment. Yes. You hear what I just said, all this?
Yeah.
Good. Go ahead.
The Suga Yizim, it doesn't end after Yishtalach?
It does.
So
we should go on to Birchas Kriyashma, the next segment. The next section. What are we interrupting with Hashem? What is the nature of this? Why suddenly do we decide to become so somehow emotional? Yes.
So why don't we say Shirmas at a later point in the album?
So there are those who claim we can. There are those who... but the question is, why was it introduced? Stopped over here between Yishtabach and Yotzerah, when the Yerushalmi says that if you're Masik, it's an Abeira, Chosim, Yerucham, Elchama, you can't be a soldier. It's a little difficult to understand. The truth of the matter is, there's a story they tell over that... I think they asked Abba Yashiv, Zatzal, this question. There are people who daven Masikin. Are you familiar with that? You probably never saw that hour of the day. But anyway, there is such a concept called Masikin. The Gemara Brachas. What does the Gemara say?
The
fellow who had Masikin, what did he do? He had a smile on his face the entire day.
And he was not a Mazik at all.
That's right, he wasn't Nizo. That's the Mishabru actually has a famous talk in Bi'alacha, you're probably familiar with it, I assume. Mishabru Paskins, if you daven Masikin, both of them, every single day, you could even not daven with the minyan, assuming you can't find the minyan. I mean, here as I said, there are plenty of minyanim in Masikin, Baruch Hashem. But Mishabru Paskins, you could daven Bechidos, only if you daven Masikin every single day, not once in a blue moon.
So you could daven Masikin by yourself every day, every single day.
If there's no minyan, of course, ideally you have to have a minyan. But assuming there's no minyan where you live in Saskatchewan, who knows about that? Or you live in Kalamazoo, Missouri, and there's no minyan. So you can daven Masikin every day, b'yichidus, even though there's no minyan, because that's the value of Masikin. Anyway, the story of the Esav Yashiv, whether one should skip to the Zimra in order to daven Masikin. What does that mean? It means you come late, and Masikin, you know, is only, they say, Dafka, when there's man of Netzin, there's man of Kriyashma, so Rav Eliashiv, that's how I answered, that the whole Ma'il of Neitz is that there should be a Chshivus of Tefillah. So one of the people who was present told Eliashiv, we're talking about Avrechim, who learned in Kaidulim, that they often skip to the Zimra. So Eliashiv started shaking. Avrechim, who sit and learn Kol Hayom Torah, skip to the Zimra? He could be masses of the day. Neither could you in your resplendent shirt.
So what happens if somebody were wanting to stay up like all night with somebody or something?
I may share the truth about these kind of people. He tells me that you should not do it.
You shouldn't do it?
You know what the Nitziv says? Sleep 8 hours. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
About the Yisrael sleeper. In this yeshiva, there are 3 star. I believe. Am I wrong? Seder number 1, let's say, begins at 9:15. Alibi. And it goes to when? To 12:45. Seder number 2 begins 3:05. And goes to?
Till
7. Seder number 3 begins after Maghrib, 8:15 till
10:10.
Could you imagine if every single person in this yeshiva but to learn all those 3 stars without wasting a moment. Just learn at that time. The rest of the time they can do whatever they like. They can dance. They can sing. They can play tiddlywink. They can play all their funny games. They can do whatever they like. They can... Correct. Exactly. Could you imagine what would happen? Mashiach would be here. I think I sent over, maybe I didn't say it to you. I probably didn't. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Akiva. You know Rabbi Akiva? Who did he marry? The daughter of Kalba Savua, one of the wealthiest, probably among the top wealthy people in Eretz Yisrael at the time. When his daughter married Rabbi Akiva, Kalba Savua decided, what? You're marrying this illiterate shepherd? Which is what he was. And he made an agreement with her, he's going to go to learn Torah. But what did he do, Kalba Savua? He disowned them. Disinherited them. How do they say it in Canada?
I don't know.
In Canada they speak French, so...
I don't know French.
He's not that familiar with the English language. Whatever the case is, they disinherited. They were disinherited. Of course, he came back 12 years later, and then he heard his wife talking to a neighbor, and then he decides, he said, as far as she's concerned, he can go for another 12 years. Went for another 12 years, came back to great Tana, Rabbi Akiva, and then the father in law had a problem. I took a nether to disown them. What do I do now? Is the goal ador? Chesti. So there are two different, shall we say, recordings exactly of what happened. The Gemara in Ksuvis has one discussion. Tosfos writes in Ksuvis, the person goes to the Beis Medrash, and after a while, you learn a number of years, you become a serious Talmid Chacham. The Rambam in the Dorah writes that how you matir a neder, in order to matir a neder, you have to find a Pesach. Pesach means, had I known this, that, and the other, had I known he becomes such a Talmid Chacham, Tosfos in Ksuvis, I wouldn't have taken the neder. That's how he was matir the neder. He found a Pesach, an opening. The Rambam in the Dorah says the Pesach was, had I known he would know Perek Echad Ba'alocha Achas, one Alocha, one Perek, I never would have taken the neder. So I asked, how do you explain this discrepancy between the Ran and Tosfos in Ksuvis? The Ran talks about knowing one parak, one halacha. And Tosfos in Ksuvis talks about what? Becoming a big Talmid Chacham. Isn't that a discrepancy? So the answer is Pashut. And I'm not saying now what I'm saying because of braggadocio. I'm not into that. But when I learned the yeshiva called Itri in 1971-72, there were no telephones. The whole city of Yerushalayim. I had to go to the main post office in order to make a phone call. I went there, Rosh Hashanah, to call my parents, Aleihem HaShalom. There were 300 people lined up with their sacks of asimonim, of these slugs that you had to put into the telephone in order to call, and I had to wait there an hour. I thought, forget about it. Maybe three people used the telephone of the 300. I said, forget it. Came back next week, Erev Yom Kippur. It was even worse. I didn't call my parents for a year and a half. I wrote them aerograms. That's like an email in a letter form with a pen. I don't know if you know what a pen is. I'll show you. And they wrote me back, and I actually even have the letters. And so, what could I do in the yeshiva? There was nothing to do except to learn. I had nothing else to do. There was literally nothing to do. There were no games. There were no Max's cake. No, what else from Efrat? You know what the name of his cakes are? One from Efrat.
Same bakery.
Another bakery, another very tasty bakery.
Distractions.
There were no distractions whatsoever. So what happened was I spent a year and a half in learning from Masechtos. Masechtos. I had nothing to do. However, the Bnei Noamu, here's the situation. We show up around 9:45, 10:10. We're busy. 10 minutes later, we need a Max cake, we need some drink, a coffee, otherwise we won't be able to manage. We've been learning so hard. It's so tedious. It's absolutely, we've gone beyond the limits. And then 15-20 minutes later, someone calls us, we go out, and perhaps we may even have to go out and leave the yeshiva because I have to go ahead and tend to some very significant business. I have to meet someone who's going to tell me a good joke or something along those lines. And then a bit later, someone invites me to lunch. So I forgot about the fact that I had a shiur. Oh, I didn't realize I had a shiur. And then the next day, after I worked so hard, I don't feel well, so I better lie in bed for a full day to recover, recuperate, take care of things, etc. And maybe to make sure that I'm well, I stay a second day in bed. And then the third day I get out, Baruch Hashem, once again, ready to go. And more or less the same schedule ensues. And as a result, and sometimes people invite me at nighttime for supper, or they invite me because their cat is having an upsharish. They're cutting the hair of the cat. The cat reached the age of three. Of course I go. It's a big simcha. Big suda mitzvah. I must have. I go to that. So now you understand why people come out like the Ran in the dark. So which one would you opt for? I hope the former, and not the latter. But in order to make sure you don't achieve the latter, you have to work at it. Okay, that was just an aside. Back over here. Rabbi Yashu couldn't believe that people don't say Pesukei Dezimra. But you can, Mi'ikra Din, Daven Basikin Bi'achidus, and you're not going to be at all, Chas V'Sholom, punished. Because that, but Hatzchila, of course, wants you to have with a minion. That's what you do. You're a fine fellow, fine young man, from what I can see. Even actually finer than fine. And I'm sure all of you done with the minyan. All of you come on time, and you should suffer.
Is it good to dive in with Vasikin every once in a while with a minyan?
No. If you have this idea, it's not. If you do, fine. But it's, unless you do Bavan Kavua, I think you should daven at a minyan kavua, in a makom kavua, in a minyan kavua, in a beis haknesses kavua, in one particular place you should daven all the time. That's not what I say. It's a machaber shomar. Don't let it disturb you. It's also the gemaras. It's also the other things. That's what you should do. Even though I saw a pesach of Hashem Zalman Roy about that, he writes that I know people. I have a son. My oldest son davens vasikin for years, never misses a minyan vasikin. Whether it's 5 o'clock, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock. That's because when he goes to sleep, he is there decades already. He davens basik, which is a beautiful midah, which is why Hashem is mezakeh with all kinds of beautiful things. Yes?
Why is it good to daven in makom kavua?
The Gemara says, in brachas, you learned it. Kol hakaveh makom tzilasa alakei Avraham v'Ezrei. Uchshenif darom yu'olav, hey chosid, hey olavi, talmidu sh'Avraham avinu. Did you look it up in the end over there? No. I hope you will look it up in the end and then report back to me. What the greatness of Kriyas Mokum is, of having a spot that is fixed, Rabbi Jonah, in the back of the Talmud, Masechet Brocho, so he talks about Rabbi Jonah, a lot of things in the Talmud, and he discusses that particular passage in the Talmud. Yes?
All the time when I'm davening in one place, I find that my tefillah are basically the same.
You're like Rabbi Akiva, who used to go move from place to place. Also, Gemara Brachas, he didn't get there yet. But also, he would walk from place to place. He was constantly in the seder because you are, Baruch Hashem, a Baal Madrega, very high level. So that explains why you have to follow Rabbi Akiva. But in general, one should have a Kriyas Makom. I think there are many reasons why one should have a Kriyas Makom. Despite what you just said, when one gets into davening, when one realizes the value of having a Makom Kavua, and not, shall we say, being distracted, because people are very easily distracted. We're human beings are easily distracted, so well, not you should be distracted, you should try to be kovei makom. Okay, but look at Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you look there, pass, ask one of the rabbein who can assist you, and then we'll be able to discuss it. Is that alright? You know what the Gemara is?
Yeah.
Okay, good, very good. Okay, I just wanted to add one last thing. You know what time it is, as usual. Anyway, there is, as you know, Kaddish follows upon the heels of Yishtabach. There are different types of Kaddish. I assume you're aware of that. How many types of Kaddish do you know?
Four.
This is the Chatzi Kaddish. Number two?
Is full Kaddish.
Kaddish Shol. Number three?
Is Yosem.
Kaddish Yosem. And number four?
Kaddish Rabbanim.
Excellent. You are very good people, as I've been saying the whole time. What's the difference between these Kaddish? When are they used? Under what circumstances? Let's start. Kaddish, let's say Chatzi Kaddish. What does that function? What's the function of Chatzi Kaddish?
When you have like a smaller break.
Excellent. Beautiful. You said it with such clarity and succinctness.
Wow.
Namely, when you want to separate between two different segments of tefillah. Here you're separating between what? Suga de Zimra and Birchas Kriyas Shema. So you see Chatzi Kaddish. What else do you see Chatzi Kaddish, which also proves your point? Namely?
It's after Tough.
No. Excellent! Wow. Going to be a God of Bateira. After Tachadun, before what? And Asheri, etc. They all see a separating again. Good. Let's take Kaddish Sholem. When do you see Kaddish Sholem? An example of Kaddish Sholem.
After Avos, yeah.
Excellent. Why is that so?
Because that's the potentially the end of davening.
The finale, right before the end of davening. Let's assume Aleinu is the end of davening. Right before you finish davening. For Aleinu, which closes the tefillah, to a large extent, then you say Kaddish Sholem. Next, Kaddish Yosem that you know, the Rambam passing it after Aleinu, you say Kaddish Yosem. They call the morning's Kaddish. And then the fourth Kaddish Hazar Rabbanan said of what?
Kaddish Rabbanan.
When is Kaddish Rabbanan said?
At the last one before davening's over.
No, no. But when is it, what is it said at Kaddish Rabbanan? What does it refer to? Under what circumstances? The Gemara in Saita, the end of Saita. Ain't no Adam Miskayim? You know that Gemara. The Gemara in that Memtes. Ain't no Adam Miskayim? The world does not stand except on Yehesh Meir Abad Yagalata and Uvalotzil. I'll get into Uvalotzil now. We'll get that eventually, I hope. But we're moving at a rapid pace, as you can see. Yesh Merabah De'agadato. And I go there, you say Kaddish Rabbanan. That's why many people, when they learn Mishnayos, they'll say after that, Abchananim Rakash Omer, what's that goes wrong with us? Because that's Agoda, and then they can say Kaddish Rabbanan. These are four Kaddishim that, and here we have Chatzi Kaddish, that separates between, of course, Shem the Zimra and Rechaz Kriyashma. Okay, we'll stop, and Mr. Hashem, you should continue to go La'elo, La'elo, Mikol, Shivasa U'Birchasa. All of you.
Amen.
Shekiah, you stood up because